or Rob has written a little poem that we'd like to share with you.
This poem is dedicated to Dennis and Pat and to the glory of God. To you all, I give an invitation to now use your imagination and give with me a salutation to Dennis Nolan, a pastor of some reputation amongst the Baptist administration. But I'm jumping ahead in this poetic violation. Let's begin with 1950s procreation, followed by 9 months gestation, and then a Nolan celebration of unsurpassed jubilation with sibling realization and Keith and Melvin's utter elation at the arrival of a brother relation. Then to their consternation and absolute trepidation that with this infant came ramification. At the top end, milky regurgitation. At the bottom, something needing sanitation. How they wished for constipation. Too much information. When Den was born, gas was the illumination. And Keith and Melvin were in domination. For them, there was no realization that this babe would be a sensation. Leading them both, plus a big congregation, extolling Jesus Christ and his salvation, preaching from creation to revelation, stopping at every railway station. Until he reached his destination, without further procrastination, to bring good news to every generation, at a small church in this conurbation called Battle Baptist, coming by recommendation from the highest specialization in spiritual education. With Dennis passing every examination by studious dedication, until he achieved his qualification of a theological graduation. Dennis found the Baptist convocation in Mount Street somewhat low in expectation that worship would continue in that location because of low church population. But God had a positive aspiration and told Dennis with no hesitation that there should be no deviation from God's determination to build a growing installation of born-again agglomeration. God said, "The glory of this present accumulation will be greater than the former operation, and in this place I will bring harmonization." Earlier, Dennis had an infatuation with one called Patricia. What a sensation. Their eyes had met across a crowded accommodation, and longing hearts beat an urgent, faster vibration until they shed their reservation and into each other's arms they fell to much ecstatic adoration. Then following matrimonial registration, Den and Pat became a formidable amalgamation of many years' duration. Her specialization is evangelization. His, a pastor and preacher by vocation. But now for Den, some hospitalization. Eastbourne and Hastings chaplainization, with patients requiring spiritual elevation, he leads a team of compassionate inclination. Meanwhile, battle awaits a heaven-sent combination of Ed and Emma and Mark, full of energy and animation and youthful rejuvenation, providing BBC with a sense of expectation, doing church with a different configuration and spiritual anticipation of something like a holy conflagration. Let's finish with a prayer of dedication. O Lord, we place this congregation into your hands in preparation for a glorious exhilaration by your Spirit working with us in combination to achieve your aspiration of eternal glorification. Amen.
Good morning. It's Mark taller than me. It's great to be here. So many faces that I know, and it's always exciting to see lots of faces that I don't know, because that means God's at work. And let me give you some greetings from the rest of the Baptist family here in the Southeast. So if you're in the last service, I'm going to do it again. You're part of the Baptist family of 150, 160 churches here in the Southeast. If that sounds a little bit, how many churches are there? That's because it's growing. In the last 5 years, we've had 7 new churches. At the moment, we've got 4 church planting projects underway. And by the end of this year, there'll be at least 2 new churches. So I'm never quite sure how many churches we do have. We've got over 14,000 members. But God's good, isn't he? All this stuff that you read in the media, you know, the church is dead and it's dying and it's disappearing. And hey, it isn't true, because God's not dead. And as long as Jesus is around, his church will survive and prosper. Let me just mention one other thing, if I may, just for a moment. I know you're doing a 40 days thing at the moment. Yeah? Yeah? You're doing a 40 days thing at the moment? Not this one, another one. Okay. Another one. But, I thought you were. Anyway. In the 40-day, you'll know that Pentecost is called Pentecost because it's 50 days after Easter. Right. Okay. 10 days after Easter, 6th of April, we start 40 days leading up to Pentecost. And we're launching 40 days of good news, where we're asking Christians, Baptist Christians across the country, not only here in the Southeast, to be intentional about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Not only to be intentional, but to be expectant that we're going to see lives transformed. In here, and I'm going to leave some copies of this for you, there are 40 different ideas of what you can get up to during those 40 days. It's not an exclusive list, and I'm not suggesting that you try and do all of them. But there may be something there that will touch your heart. You'll think, yes, I could do that. For example, I mean, I've said to all my colleagues, regional ministers across the country, we so easily get tied up in dealing with churches and forget to get on with the real job of evangelism, of sharing Jesus. So, for example, for myself, my wife and I occasionally sing in folk clubs, and we will be going to Folk by the Fire, and I will be singing and performing and speaking the good news of Jesus Christ in a pub in that folk club. So that's my bit of intentionality. Normally I do it by playing badminton, but I've done all that hopping around the place this morning. I've done my ankle in doing a church weekend and playing football, so I'm not playing badminton at the moment. But hey, it was still good to have a bit of exercise. Now, this is going to be a bit different. Now we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 13, but before we get to that point. Who's been watching the Great British Bake Off, or the version that's on at the moment with all the celebrities? Yeah, any of you? Okay, well, I didn't know there was going to be a cake in the other room ready for Dennis. If you haven't seen it yet, it's brilliant. But I thought we ought to make a cake, because you can't have a special occasion without a cake. So I thought we'd make a cake this morning. Is that okay? Brilliant. So we need to put some things in to make a cake. What do we need to put in if we're going to make a cake?
Sugar. Great. I have got some sugar in here. I think I've got one. Yeah.
Some sugar. So put some sugar in. Yeah. All right. There we go. Sugar is in. What else do we need? Flour. Okay.
Flour.
I have a flour, so we will put
flour in there. Okay, brilliant. What else do we need? Eggs. I have an egg. Oh. Eggs, of course, have been a symbol of Christianity for 2,000 years. Because, for two reasons. You know you get eggs at Easter, yeah? Well, do you know why you have eggs at Easter? Chocolate. Yeah. Okay. We have eggs at Easter to remind us of the empty tomb of Jesus. And the new life that comes out. So if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, you wouldn't get Easter eggs. So, but also, the egg's been a symbol of the church because of the fact... Who had an egg for breakfast? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. I bet you didn't. Well, I bet you did, but you didn't. Because, you see, you probably only had part of an egg for breakfast, but you're happy to say, I had an egg for breakfast. You only had two parts of the egg, didn't you? The egg and the yolk and the white. But you can say, I had egg for breakfast. But actually, you didn't eat the shell. And the whole egg is made of three parts. But you can still say that one part of it is egg. Am I making sense? Yeah? That's why it's been a symbol of the Trinity of God for 2,000 years. That God the Father is God. God the Son is God. God the Holy Spirit is God. Together, they're God. But in their component parts, if you like, they're still God. So, putting an egg in the cake. Hey, this is Trinitarian stuff we're doing this morning. Right. Let's see if I can... So we may need to clear up afterwards, but there we go. Let's put an egg into our cake. Right. What else do we need? Butter. Well, now that's interesting. He said, I haven't got butter, but I've got Marge. Is that all right? Here's Marge. Okay. We'll put Marge in there. Okay. There's Marge. Okay. Anything else we need still? Yes. Baking powder. I haven't got any baking powder. By the way, I should have said, it's going to be a coffee and walnut cake. Not messing around here. So what else do we need? Walnuts. Well, I haven't got any walnuts, but I have got some nuts. And I've got the nuts and I've got the bolts. But that would be silly. That would be silly to put the bolts in, wouldn't it? So we'll just put the nuts in, okay? A couple of nuts. And yes, you're desperate. What? Coffee. Yeah, we've put some coffee in, haven't we? And of course, it is fair trade coffee. Hey, we've got to get these things right, haven't we? Okay, coffee goes in. Is that about it, you think? Milk. Yeah, I've got some milk. Okay, a little sachet of milk. When I say sachet, I mean one of these. I don't mean I'm going to walk across stage. Right, sachet of milk. We'll put that in there. Okay, I think that's probably enough. And let's cook it, shall we? Are you looking forward to this? Are you going to eat some of it when we've cooked it? You're not. Okay, well, let's... there's no smoke detectors in here, are there? So, there we go. Let's cook the cake. And what do you reckon? You going to eat some?
No.
Well, we're going to need a plate, aren't we? And a knife. And then we can have a really nice coffee and walnut cake to eat. Okay. And just to prove it really is coffee and walnut cake, there you go. Dennis?
Coffee cake.
Now, the rest of you can demolish this afterwards, all right? Okay. Even though you said you didn't want to eat it. Now, what was that all about? Let's read Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. Very appropriate for today. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and
forever. You see, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but Jesus is also the God of change. Not taking a load of stuff and making a walnut cake, but taking people's lives and transforming them. In the hands of Jesus, the common becomes special. Sinners become saints. People become priests, if you were here in the last session. There was a Zen master visiting London, and he goes up to a hot dog stand and says, "Make me one with everything." The hot dog seller fixes a hot dog and gives it to the Zen master, who pays for the £20 note. The vendor puts the bill in the cash box and closes it. "Excuse me, but where's my change?" says the Zen master. The seller responds, "Change must come from within." Now, you see, this Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, experienced incredible change. He experienced the change of going from heaven to earth. He experienced the change of going from the Creator to being part of the creation. He went from the glory of heaven to a cave underneath a pub in a backwater town called Bethlehem, which was more of a backwater town than Battle. He experienced change. He's the same, and yet he experienced change. And he experienced change so that we could be changed. He didn't experience change just for the fun of it. It was that he could then bring change into our lives, bring change into this world. That's his business, changing you and I, that this world might be what the Father wants it to be. In a book called Cutting for Stone is this passage. Some of you may have come across the book. "I chose the speciality of surgery because of Matron. That steady presence during my boyhood and adolescence. What is the hardest thing you can do?" she said when I went to her for advice on the darkest day of the first half of my life. I squirmed. How easily Matron probed the gap between ambition and expediency. Why must I do what is hardest? Matron said, "Because you are an instrument of God. Don't leave the instrument sitting in its case, my son. Play. Leave no part of your instrument unexplored. Why settle for 3 blind mice when you can play the Gloria?" How unfair of Matron to evoke that soaring chorale which always made me feel that I stood with every mortal creature looking up to the heavens in dumb wonder. She understood my unformed character. "But Matron, I can't dream of playing Bach, the Gloria." I said under my breath, "I'd never played a string or wind instrument. I couldn't read music." "No," she said, her gaze soft, reaching for me, her gnarled hands rough on my cheeks. "No, not Bach's Gloria, yours. Your Gloria lives within you. The greatest sin is not finding it, ignoring what God made possible in you." There's no Matron here today. But what have you done with the Gloria that God has placed in you? Have you settled for 3 blind mice when God wanted to do amazing things through you? If you're younger, you need to hear this as well. that God is a God who changes people, who transforms them, who moves them from one degree of glory to another, who places his glory within you, that your life will become something amazing, special, that will affect the world. But I see people in church sometimes who've been going to church for 50 years and still haven't found the Gloria. They've just sat there. They haven't released into the world and into the life of the church all that God's put inside them. Jesus didn't come to make us pew fodder. He didn't come to let us sit in church getting bored for the rest of our lives, thinking, well, as long as I endure enough sermons, he'll let me into heaven. He came to transform the world. And he starts with people, with you and me. As we allow his Spirit to release his Gloria in us. Do you know that? That Gloria in you. Is it released? Are you doing what God's called you to do? Last year, I took a course in advanced motoring with the Institute of Advanced Motorists. And it was great. I passed. So my insurance has gone right down. but the instructor gave me 2 hours of his time several times at no charge because of his passion to see people become better drivers. That's it. That was his driving force. He wants to see better people driving on the road. So he would give of his time freely. He's a driving instructor. He's just actually moved out to Spain. So I won't see him anymore. But he wanted to see people become better. That was his passion. Brothers and sisters, have you got that passion in you to see other people becoming better people? Have you got that passion in you to see this world changed, to allow Jesus to affect other people's lives through you? Because that's half of what this Gloria is about. That when his passion is in us, we can't help but share Jesus. Because we want to see other people becoming like Jesus. He gave those couple of hours almost every week. Would you give 2 hours a week to share Jesus? Would you let it become your lifestyle to share Jesus, to be the passion that drives you? See, when we share Jesus, we get changed. When we share Jesus, we discover that we live in a changing world and we have to communicate in different ways. But whether in a church or in a hospital, whether it's in our place of work, the street where we live, we need to share Jesus so that this world can be changed. And doesn't it need it? It needs you and I to let the Gloria out. Don't settle for 3 blind mice. Amen. I want to spend a few moments commissioning Dennis for his new role. Well, I say new role, a sort of development of what's gone before, really, as a chaplain. I was trying to find some stories about chaplains, and I think my favourite so far is the murderer who was sitting in an electric chair about to be executed. And the chaplain came to him and said, look, is there anything I can do for you, my son? And the guy said, yes, could you hold my hand? But I'm going to ask Dennis to come and join me, and he's going to answer some questions, and then we're going to spend some time praying for him. So, Dennis, come. They need to hear you more than me, probably. We'll try and share a mic. And I can bash my head at the same time. All Christians are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to follow in his way. Dennis Nolan, you are first a disciple of Christ.
And so I ask you to affirm afresh your faith and trust in God, a faith which you have already confessed in baptism. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
As a disciple of Jesus Christ, this is the God in whom I trust.
Dennis, you are about to take up a work of ministry within the ecumenical team, which offers Christian ministry to the East Sussex Healthcare NHS Trust. Will you fulfil your calling as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the company of colleagues and serving the people of these hospitals with the love and in obedience to the pattern of Christ?
I will, the risen Christ inspiring me.
Dennis, will you seek the kingdom of God in this place, promoting values of justice, peace, and the integrity of creation, looking out for signs of God's Spirit at work among its people, and offering your friendship and care to any who seek it?
I will, God's Spirit empowering me.
Dennis, will you maintain the integrity of your own faith, while recognizing the freedom of others to practice theirs, being ready always to explain the hope that is in you?
I will, God's word sustaining me.
Dennis, will you pray for the good of the trust and its people, witnessing together with all who witness to Christ there, to what is good, just and true in God's sight?
In the name of God, who is Father of all, the living word and the spirit of unity, I will.
Dennis, on behalf of the Southern Baptist Association and as a representative of the Baptist Union of Great Britain, I affirm you in your new ministry, charging you to maintain your covenant relationship with us and offering you our pastoral care and oversight. As an association, we recognise your ministry and will support you in prayer, seeking with you the furtherance of God's kingdom in the trust and those that you spend time with. The everlasting God shield you, east and west and wherever you go, and the blessing of God be upon you, the blessing of the God of life, the blessing of the God of love, the blessing of the Spirit of grace, the blessing of the Son, the blessing of the Trinity be upon you, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Now some other folk are going to come and join me and pray for Dennis.
We get the elders up as well. The elders come.
Okay. Lay hands on Dennis, and if one of some of you want to lead us in prayer, please pray.
Father, we want to thank you for the ministry that you have given Dennis over many years here and for the ministry that you've got ahead of him, Lord, as he serves in the chaplaincy, Lord. We just pray, Father, for a revitalizing of him, Lord. Pray for the energy that he needs, Lord, for all that you've got ahead of him. And just bless him, Father. Amen.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for Dennis's loyalty and faithfulness in serving you in this place, Lord, through the years. Lord God, and we thank you for the way in which you graciously used him mightily to build your kingdom in this place. Mm. And Father God, we pray that as he goes, Lord, you would release a fresh anointing upon him, Lord God, for this new work, Lord. Lord, you would give him all the skills that he needs, Lord, to encounter all the situations he's going to face. And Lord, may all along the way he know your peace guarding his heart and mind. Lord, may he take your presence into very difficult places. And Lord, may he show people your comfort, Lord God, your love and your grace in difficult times. In Jesus' name,
yes,
amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the 35 years of faithful service here at Battle Baptist Church. And we know that in your great economy, every moment of that experience is going to be used to further extend your kingdom in the days and months and years ahead. We thank you that in your economy there's no such thing as retirement, but just a moving on day by day with you. And so we thank you for this fresh opportunity, this fresh vision, and this opportunity that Dennis now has to serve you in another way, in another place, building on all that has gone before. Yes. With looking ahead and looking further ahead to see something of even greater glory that comes about in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we pray that Jesus may be seen in Dennis, Lord, that he does, Lord. Mm. I pray, Lord, you'll give me the gift of wisdom, Lord. I know how to speak, what to pray for, how to minister to the folk there in the hospital. Mm. Pray for the staff, those who worked with, Lord. May he be a shining light of Jesus there, too, Lord. Mm. Really pushing forward the ministry of the gospel. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Father, I just praise you for the ministry he is had in this church, Lord. At the start of people's lives and at the end, Lord Father. Just praise you.
Thank
you, Amen. Thank you for the vision, Lord, that you have given Dennis, your vision for this place. And I pray, Lord, that you give him such a vision for everything that you've got in store for him and the places he's going to minister. And Father, in the times when Dennis is called to just trust you, I pray that you'd be the lamp before his feet, the light before his path.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you've given Dennis the ability to build a community of healing there, Lord. Mm. Amongst the staff, amongst the volunteers, Lord, I thank you for that spirit of unity in the bond of peace. I thank you, Lord, for his example, Lord, in walking with you with that heart of compassion through the wards and visiting people and Lord, just day by day, Lord, being open to hear you and to go where you call him to go. Lord, thank you for your presence in him, that he carries your mighty spirit of compassion in him to minister to others. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Loving God, you've called us to ministry and mission in churches and world. Now, as Dennis begins a new ministry beyond the walls of the church in which he has previously served, we ask you to fill him afresh with your spirit, who broods over creation, bringing life out of death and fruitfulness out of everyday things. Father, as we pray for Dennis, we also pray for Pat. We thank you for both of them, for the ministry that they exercise in this place. And we ask you to bless them in the days ahead as this whole new chapter opens, that they will know a deeper love for each other, as well as a deeper love for you, and that together they will find fresh ways to minister to others and share the good news of Jesus. In his name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.